That have nothing to this claim or disclose, so we can move on. Our learning objectives today is to understand how and why communities engage in community research around health disparities. I'll give you a little bit of information about the organization that I am the executive director of. We're 10 years old. We started as a demonstration project for the Kellogg Foundation, and it's a collaborative partnership between the City of Detroit Health Department and the Wayne County Health Department, the four health systems in the City of Detroit, Wayne State University School of Medicine, and six qualified health plans. We started with three, and we now have six qualified health centers, I should say. And we also have a Detroit Wayne County Health Authority, which is not a taxing authority, but it does provide some leadership in terms of financing access to health care for the un- and underinsured. We have free clinics and a community advisory board. Our mission is really providing leaderships that around organizing health delivery and expanding the access to cost-effective, high-quality care for the un- and underinsured. So the people that we try and serve are people who are at 200 to 250% below the poverty level, and mainly adults. Our population is mainly African American. Because we're in the City of Detroit, that's where we started. We are now have expanded to Wayne County, so it's a much more diverse population than the Detroit population, which is about 83-86% African American. Our relationship with the University of Michigan School of Dentistry around this project, the Detroit Oral Health Project, began in about 10 years ago. We helped write the RFP in terms of deciding what kind of focus we'd like to see as a community in terms of the research. We were very much concerned that when identifying the population in terms of studying children who are within families and the kinds of disparities that exist within families, we were very concerned that we include caregivers. Our population, of course, is mainly adults, so we were concerned that the caregivers were involved, and we were concerned that we help identify this as not just being a parent, because in an African-American community, the adults who are not necessarily the parent of the child are very instrumental in terms of oral health and any other kind of health problem that you're really talking about. We have several academic research partners as a community group. We participate with not only the University of Michigan School of Dentistry, but Wayne State University School of Medicine, the School of Social Work at U of M, and the College of Pharmacy at U of M, and the College of Pharmacy at Wayne State University, and the Allied Health School of Allied Health at Wayne State University, which is involved with the pharmacy as well as the training of physician assistants. One of the things we wanted to do is to understand we wanted to understand and eliminate the extent and cause of oral health disparities among low-income African-American children. So the target areas that were picked were basically zip codes within the Detroit area that we knew had high poverty levels, and it was quite a interesting experience in terms of going around and trying to find the families and talking with our community advisory board, because our community advisory board was extremely active in this process. We hired people from the community to actually go out and find the homes and determine whether or not they were vacant or whether or not there were actually families living within those homes. We also hired individuals from the community and trained them to work with those families and to continue to work on the project and learn some additional skills in terms of research. And these were not necessarily people who had a master's or a BA degree, but many of them had were high school graduates, and this was an opportunity to extend their experience in terms of understanding research. One of the issues that they were most concerned about was that what is it they're going to get out of this whole process? We knew that there was a lot of oral health disparities in terms of the number of dental clinics that we had for low-income individuals. We had one at the Detroit Public Health Department that focused on children, and then we had three within our FQHC partners in terms of dental, and they not only did children, but they also did adults. So, and we had a very limited Medicaid participation in terms of what they were paying. In fact, as this project was ongoing, one of the things that happened is that the state of Michigan, as you all know, we've been suffering from what was previously a one-state recession. Now it's a 50-state recession. But one of the things is they changed the Medicaid program for a short period of time, and there was a lot of advocacy around making sure that children were covered and that the state reinstituted the oral health, the dental program in the state of Michigan. We feel very strongly that the relationship between what the scientists and the rest want to study and what we as a community want to study have to be very much the same, because we're dependent on each other. We need to learn about what kind of things work and how do we bridge the gap between the disparities that we're seeing. How do we deal with them? And the scientists want to know from the research, they want to be able to get a number of things out of it in terms of publication, in terms of projects, additional funding, and they all have to work together, in our opinion. And our community board has been extremely responsive and strong in their concern. In fact, when we first started, it was an interesting balance, because in selecting the families that would participate in the project, the community had to agree and understand why some families did not get selected, because they might tell a neighbor, they might tell a friend about the project, and then that neighbor or friend would not be, their children and them would not be able to participate because they didn't necessarily meet the criteria and they weren't a part of the study group that was going to be selected. So all of those things had to be worked through with the community, and they had a very strong voice in determining that. Part of what came out of this project was that individuals wanted service to go along with the research portion of it. They wanted to be able to say that if you found disease in a child's in the child and in the caregiver needed something to do in terms of they also had a lot of disease going on in their own bodies, and therefore they needed to have something to address that. And the Delta Dental Foundation was extremely supportive in helping us to address the additional services. And we really have to thank the Dr. Ismail and Woosung in terms of their willingness to work with us and in addressing our needs. They embraced themselves and emerged themselves into our community. Even though the University of Michigan is about 45 minutes away from Detroit, they were there with us. Dr. Ismail was there on a regular basis. He was there talking with community folks, getting to know all of the leadership. And so was Woosung, and was instrumental with the Delta Foundation in terms of bringing in additional dollars to pay for some services related to the disease that we were seeing. We gained a great deal of respect for his commitment and the university's commitment to the process that when you talk about being involved in community research, that the community has to be in the forefront and understanding what it is you want to research and deciding whether what you want to research is what they want you to research and what is going to be left as a part of that research. And one of our major concerns was that, you conduct the research, you find out what the disparities are, what do you do? once you find that out? How are you going, what are you going to leave in our community? You've done the papers, you've done the research. Now, what stays in our community? How do we address the problems? What's the doing part of it? We don't want just to understand what the disease process is or why it exists. We want to know, what are you going to do about it? How are you going to help us do something about it? So we feel that there, the stakeholder relationship has to be an equal partnership, committed commitment to applying the learning that we've talked about, support of their involvement in the scientific study, understanding what the scientific study is and why it is designed in a particular way, and whether or not it's meaningful to us. And I use the word us because I feel like I'm really a part of that community and have been for many, many years, not just on this project, but in many other areas. The scientific community, the community has really felt that basically the dissemination and finding of professional peers and the writing of papers are something that we support, but it's not something that is of major importance to us. It's important to you all in terms of your science, your research and your understanding of what's going on, but it's not as important to us as it is to you, because we're really concerned about what are you going to do with the results, how are you going to tell us about those results, what are you going to put into, how are you going to disseminate this to us, what methods and the rest are you going to use. We feel that there's often an inherent conflict between the community's need and what the scientists are willing to or interested in. And I think we basically covered, it requires a full engagement. We feel that there are a number of things in terms of policy development. Out of this particular project, we were able to identify a number of things related to our Medicaid or school-based screening programs, in which we found that the children who were being screened for and given preventive treatment were being given preventive treatment over disease teeth. So it wasn't a very pleasant situation for us to understand that. So now we have to address that. How do we address that in terms of policy with that at the state level in terms of how Medicaid is paying for the services and how they are indeed promoting it? These young children often have sealants put over their tooth when they're found in the school system, but the disease is not treated, so eventually they come to us at the in which our providers are not paid because they've already been given treatment by a mobile unit that goes to the school, and there are a lot of politics around that. The National Institute of Health, we feel we were proud that we were able to become one of those one of the communities that was funded under this process, but we also had some reservations in terms of the results of being funded over the 6-7 years. We had hoped that once the research had been completed and that we had found out why these disparities exist, and we were looking at how do you address them, and one of the ways that we are looking at addressing them, of course, is our community health workers who will be trained through our local community college program to do screenings within the community as soon as we change some policy at the state level related to adding an additional professional that will be out in the community working with the individuals. And we're talk with the health authority there to see if we can bring about some synergy with their community outreach workers who are trying to get people and children screened and adults as well into Medicaid. But hoping that we can not only look at the oral health issues of the community, but the body as a whole. And when we started this project, that's why we started and became involved, is that we wanted to get our providers to start looking at the mouth as a part of the total or the total body, and not just thinking about it in terms of primary care and not looking in terms of oral health needs of our community. So we did do some GME and some other kinds of things to encourage our providers to begin to think about oral health and the oral health of the patients that we have. But what we found towards the end is that the research was very successful, but did it have any real impact in terms of where we're going? There was a lot of concern that the next step that we wanted to go to was not in a research control setting. We wanted to take the real world and the real life kinds of things that we had seen and put them into practice, and we wanted to be able to do the things that we knew would be successful in reducing oral health disparities. But when we put forth some of our research into an RFA response, there was concern that the reviewers did not understand what our community was saying to us in terms of how they wanted things to happen in terms of implementing programs. We think we're working through that at this particular time to make sure that the processes and the implementation of some of the issues that we're interested in will be definitely integrated into the next step in terms of our the continuation of the center. We feel that funding focuses should be on not single solutions, but because there are multiple things that intervene in terms of working in a community in terms of community-based research, and that funding sometimes does not consider nor value the sustainability of the proposed intervention. And that to us is extremely important, that once you find something out, you really need to value what the intervention is and promote that intervention and carry it to its fullest in terms of being able for it to be sustainable within the community. My organization has written a book published by Wayne State University on taking care of the uninsured, a path to reform, in which we talk about the experience of our coalition over the for 5 years as we tracked and followed individuals not only for primary care and moving them from use of the emergency room but into primary care. We tracked 27,500 individuals for the five-year period of time, and we're able to see a major change in how they use services. If you were able to get them into what we call a medical home, where both dental and primary care is being provided to those organizations, and we were able to value in terms of dollars and return on investment and for our providers in our community. Again, we would very much like to say that we really appreciate the National Institutes of Health support of our project, but we really would like to see the next step in terms of community involvement in research as being taking the next step in terms of doing and following and sustaining some of the work that comes out of the research that we've had.